And 50 Shades of Grey notwithstanding, most women I know aren't really turned on by painful sex.
Dr. Donica Moore, a physician, educator, media commentator, women's health expert, known to many as simply Dr. Donica.
This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher.
Hi, everyone. The film version of the enormously popular book, 50 Shades of Grey, has thrust sexuality into our consciousness again. Personally, now, I read the first chapters of the book, and I just had to put it down. It just made no sense to me as much as I tried to understand. Well, in reference to this new entertainment phenomena and the movie trilogy, that short soundbite at the beginning of today's show, Dr. Donica is referring to women 50 and older saying making love hurts. First, thanks for joining us. Can you hear me, Dr. Donica?
I can. It's my pleasure.
I think what I understand about your message, many women 50 and older, making love hurts due to menopausal changes that result in painful sex.
The problem is a lot of women are suffering in silence. There's many reasons for this. It's certainly an embarrassing topic. It's certainly something where there's a lot of shame and guilt and blame and fear about partners feeling like they're being blamed. And then also a lot of women think, well, this is just what I have to deal with now that I'm in menopause. There's this very outdated notion that you're finished at 50 and you're sort of dried up and, you know, you're stuck with lubricants or, you know, nothing. And I think that any time there's an activity that's painful, you're less likely to want to engage in it. The really sad thing about this is not only are women not talking to their doctors, they're not really talking to their partners as well. So, you know, men are often literally in the dark here. So now that I've depressed everyone, let me give you some good news. The good news is there are treatment options available. The good news is we know what causes this. So what happens when a woman goes through menopause is that our bodies naturally decrease our own production of estrogen, which causes our periods to stop, which is the good news about menopause. But it also sets us up for being at increased risk for many other diseases, disorders, and other conditions related to menopause and related to aging. Now, most of us are painfully aware of what happens to the changes on the skin of our faces when we look in the mirror as we age. Our skin gets thinner in general. It can get puffy and baggy and saggy and wrinkled. Similar changes happen to the tissue of the vagina, where there are actual cellular changes we can see under the microscope, but even just on physical exam, a doctor can see that the vaginal tissue in many menopausal women thins. It changes color. The pH changes. And this sets us up for moderate to severe painful sex after menopause. It creates a very inhospitable environment. So the question becomes, what can women do about it? Many women try lubricants, and for some women that helps. For some women, though, that simply glosses over the problem. It doesn't really change the integrity of the underlying tissue. Many women are helped by estrogen, which for decades has been available in pills, patches, creams, vaginal rings, suppositories, etc. But many women don't want to take an estrogen product because they have concerns about the side effect profile. So in 2013, the FDA approved a product called Osfina, which is the only non-estrogen oral pill that treats moderate to severe painful sex as a result of menopause.
Well, that's quite a breakthrough. You can hopefully tell us a little bit more about that. And obviously, the questions always come up about the side effects.
Absolutely. And every medicine, whether it's prescription or over-the-counter, whether it's a vitamin, a supplement, or an herbal product, every medicine, if it's strong enough to have an effect, it's strong enough to have side effects. And this is no exception. Most of the side effects are what we call nuisance side effects, which doctors kind of joke that, which means it's a nuisance for the patient, but it doesn't really bother me. And that would include hot flashes, night sweats, leg cramping, some spotting, abnormal vaginal spotting. But there are also some potential major side effects as well. And those are the things that some doctors worry about depending on the patient. And that is that it could increase your risk of endometrial cancer. It could increase your risk of blood clots, strokes, or heart attacks. So this is why for this medicine and any other medicine, it's very important for you to go through the side effects with your doctor and talk about what your risk level is and whether this or any other drug is appropriate for you.
So is this a personal decision, or are you as a physician, can you tell us whether that's something you would recommend, or it just is a personal decision?
Well, every medical decision, in my opinion, is a personal decision. There's only one recommendation that I make blanketly for everyone, and that is anybody who smokes should quit. But everything else, it all depends on the patient. Every other medical decision has to be made by considering a patient's history, their symptoms, how bothersome those symptoms are, how it's interfering with their quality of life. Certainly, if a woman is having moderate to severe painful sex as a result of menopause, in my view, as a woman of a certain age myself, that's a serious problem. And that's a serious quality of life issue, and it could potentially become a relationship issue. So as a doctor, I'm going to take that very seriously. However, I'm always going to balance a patient's needs and a patient's concerns and a patient's issues and their history with any risk or benefit that a potential medicine could give them. So I'm not sidestepping your question. I'm just saying there's no blanket recommendation. And this is why I, as a physician, love it when we have treatment options for women. I love it when we can offer one choice to one person, another choice to another person, and, you know, another choice if that one doesn't work. So the more choices we have, the more options we have, the better chances we have of a satisfactory result.
So you're not necessarily advocating one over the other. You're talking just
Absolutely
about the...
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of solutions, I guess.
Absolutely. Here's what I'm advocating. What I'm advocating, first and foremost, is that women who are approaching menopause or who are in menopause know that this is a thing and that they are as educated as possible about all of the symptoms of menopause. What I'm further advocating is that any woman who's having painful sex as a result of menopause or any other problem should have a conversation with their partner about it, but should also have a conversation with their doctor about it. Some things that cause painful sex are as easily treated as a yeast infection. Sometimes bladder infections can cause painful sex, and a woman is not aware, she may not have the typical urinary symptoms. So there's lots of other things that can also cause painful intercourse. Anytime you have pain or abnormal symptoms, if they don't resolve on their own within a couple of days, and this is not the kind of thing that resolves on its own, unfortunately, then it's time to talk to your doctor. I'm also a huge advocate of women feeling comfortable talking to their doctor about just about anything and giving them tips to help them communicate more effectively. So one of the tips could be writing down your questions or concerns or your symptoms and then just reading it off the piece of paper as opposed to trying to make a conversation and going from, so how are you today, to I have painful sex. Yeah, that's kind of a difficult segue for a lot of people. Sometimes it helps women to say, you know, I heard this thing on the radio where they were talking about this thing that I may also be experiencing. There is a website that I also recommend to women called painfulsexaftermenopause.com where they can get a lot more information about the situation, because I really believe that the more well-educated a woman is, the better able she's going to be an advocate for her own needs. That's what I'm advocating.
Are most physicians comfortable talking about that as you hope they are?
I am a very big supporter and cheerleader of my profession, but there are physicians who are not as comfortable as others in talking about this. And I'm going to tell you a secret where if you say I said this, I will deny it. but that is that doctors are people too. And we come in all sizes and shapes and various levels of skill in various aspects of our career, and we all had to have certain qualifications to get that MD. But we don't all have the same level of comfort and qualifications in communication. So as with any other relationship, if you're not comfortable talking to your physician about something that's important to you, you need to evaluate whether that's a problem with the relationship, or maybe you're not describing it in a way. And you might have to think about making a change, either in how you communicate or in telling the physician, you know, I really would like to feel more comfortable talking about this. You know, I call that red flagging. Or to, you know, say, is there somebody else in the practice I can see, or do I need to change physicians altogether?
And maybe that's why some women suffer in silence and not even telling their doctors about it.
That's one reason. I think the bigger reason that women suffer in silence is because for women of a certain age, and that's 5 years older than I happen to be on any given day, we were conditioned to just deal with it. And we were conditioned to think that there weren't options to treat these problems, or the options weren't satisfactory. So, you know, I think that's why it's important for people like you to be able to have these conversations on your radio show to reach, you know, millions of women and say, yes, this is common, but just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal, and it doesn't mean it's not treatable. Or in a positive way, to say, yes, there are treatment options, but you need a proper diagnosis first.
So with February 14th, not too far down the road, I guess any any last-minute tips that might help out for the big moment?
Well, number one, my biggest tip to men is jewelry.
That's a good one.
But the bigger tip is don't forget that Saturday is Valentine's Day. And it is an important, obviously we should appreciate the people we love every day of the year, but it's a wonderful occasion to, you know, to ramp it up a little bit in the romance department. And then for women, I think it's important to remember that you have to put you higher on your own to-do list. And if you are having problems in your sexuality, in your sexual experience, or with anything related to menopause or any other medical problem, call your doctor, make an appointment, and deal with it. This ostrich strategy is not really helping us.
Well, Dr. Donica, just to switch gears a little as we come to the end of the show, we started out referring to our newest film and Hollywood phenomenon, 50 Shades of Grey. Now, that movie is to a large degree about sex and romance. What can men and women, especially those of us over 50 and above, learn about improving our intimate experience, knowing that we aren't defined by a best-selling romance novel?
You know, women's sexuality is not dependent on just one small piece of real estate. A lot of it is about the relationship and the context and the phases of the moon and everything you ever said to me in the past 14 years. And we bring a lot of baggage sometimes to our sexual relationships. But communication can go, a little communication can go a long way towards facilitating a much better relationship. And if that doesn't work, jewelry.
And my hunch is that even if a woman tells you that she doesn't want the jewelry, she sure will appreciate it if it does come her way. Any final bits of advice?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, painfulsexaftermenopause.com is a great source of information, but the most important source of information for any women about any of their own personal medical problems is their own personal physician.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Moore. It's a timely topic, and you've made it real clear. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section. Thanks again.